Okay, so nice to meet you, and thank you also for the invitation to Brother Andrew. He is not here today, but I'm privileged to be here. And I would like to share with you some things about the missions. If it's okay, like you can hear me, yeah? It's fine? So maybe I'll be sitting, it's easier for me. So I would start with some presentation with the pictures. I'll try to explain them. Some of the things are like maybe obvious, but some of them, they'll need some a bit of explanation. And then if there is some time for some questions, I'll be also happy to talk more about some specific issues that you have maybe. So this is the map of Africa, as you probably know, and you can see the Zambia there in central south of Africa. It's a country without the access to the sea, unfortunately, but the place where we are is in the north. It's a big village called Kazembe, very close to the border with Congo, with DR Congo. And then I am a Salesian father belonging to the Salesians of Don Bosco. And together we are three as a community. And if you maybe know Don Bosco from Italy, he was the one that was also believing in the like community life. So we are living together, three of us. There is Father Gabriel, and he's Zambian, and he's a parish priest there, Father Joseph, and he is the oratory director, meaning he is in charge of the youth and children. And this is our like maybe basic work that we do all over the world. We are known for running schools and places for the children. And then you can see me there also. So we are three together. The main language is English, as it is official language of Zambia. Zambia used to be a British colony, but then we have more than 10 local, like big languages. They say that there are 60 or even more than 60 dialects. But in the north, the people speak Bemba. We have one of the leaders from the oratory, and as you can see, he is in the like football jersey of the national team, pointing at FC Barcelona. So as you can see already from these pictures, the people are very keen on football, and this is like national sport. There will be football. Everyone can play football anywhere, anytime. So something about nature and weather. Some of the pictures are maybe to shock you a bit, but this is on the left side we have scorpion, on the right side is the puff adder. Unfortunately, that one is dead already because, like, you know, if you see the snake in the village setting, people will not ask any question. They will kill the animal on the spot because they are afraid that if someone is bitten, it can be serious problem. So the climate is subtropical, plenty of water around us. There are some waterfalls also, the termites, chameleon. Maybe I'll stop on the chameleon because there is another topic there already. So like you see, chameleon, the snake, and some kind of the fish, like the catfish, the one that is like also plenty of that kind of fish there, people will treat with like some kind of reservation. They will be afraid of this kind of animals because they will connect them with the issue of the witchcraft. So this kind of animals, if they see our volunteers or us playing with the chameleon, they will be running away. And also, as there was a picture of Father Joseph there, so usually during the rainy season, we have plenty of scorpions. Just for maybe 2-3 weeks, when the weather is changing, when the rains are starting, these chameleons are coming out, and you can see many of them. And usually we are killing them because they are not that dangerous, but if you are bitten, stung by them, then it's very painful. So usually we are killing them on the spot, but when Father Joseph came to our community last September, he started to collect them, and then he was cooking them. So coming from another like maybe cultural context, people were shocked, but then even the boys who were always with reservations to catching the scorpions, they were collecting for him, bringing the bucket and say, "Father, can you cook for us?" So that was a change. Something maybe about the food, because usually you can describe a country when you talk about the language, about the food. So here you see that there are already problems there, because majority of the people in our village, they will not have an access to fresh water. like around their household. So usually they'll be fetching water from some kind of boreholes. Usually these kind of boreholes were built by some big NGOs coming from different places all over the world. And on the left side you can see cassava, and this is also like main food there. People will eat this kind of, which is like a root, especially in the morning. They will roast it or they will fry it. Here you can see the children, and they are always eating with hands, and also that's how it is. And you can see this white thing in the front. This boy is eating shima, and shima is cooked, boiled maize flour, and then usually they will be eating with some kind of other things, like there are some soya pieces, a bit of cabbage, but the main thing will be this ugwali, like they call it in Kenya, ugwali. In our place they call it shima, which is like boiled maize flour, boiled meal of maize flour, and this is like the main meal. Sometimes they will eat it like even two or three times a day, of course, if someone can afford. And usually you can see that the cooking is done in a very traditional way. So this kind of, let's say, ovens that you see there are made out of the drums that they cut, like the metal drums used for fuel or oils. They will cut this into pieces, then they will go to the local welder, and he will make this oven, then they will just put the charcoal there, and the charcoal once again will be done by them, usually by going to the bush, cutting some kind of trees and then making the charcoal. Then they will sell the charcoal, and then someone will buy it, put the pot all over on the top of this, and they will be cooking in this very traditional way. So some kind of things that are common there, so a bit of fish, the shima that was mentioned before, a bit of vegetables, and on the left side you can see ripe mangoes, usually like from the end of November up to middle of January or end of January. The mangoes in our area are plenty. Jackfruit also very common, very sweet, very tasty. The papaya on the left. And then these are some kind of like local worms. They will be also eating them, usually drying, then frying. They taste like crisps. And I think after, if someone is brave enough, once you try, then you are okay. There are no problems. This is the local market. As you can see, majority of the people will be women there. Usually if a man comes there, either will be like maybe a relative of someone or will be a stranger. Usually the cooking is done by the women, and also even the selling, handling of the food is done by women. And you can see that also that majority of the people are selling the same things. So mainly tomato, red onion, a bit of, on the left side you can see like a heaps of dry small fish, a rice, maybe popcorn, and that's it. Something about the communication. So Zambia is when it comes to like communication with many problems, this is like the, let's say, the main road leading from Mansa to Lusaka, which is like a stretch of 800 kilometers, but in many places the road will look like this. Then the traveling will be done mainly by cars or by big buses. For the people, the cheapest way to communicate is by using the big buses. And you can see also that from the bus you can make a lot of business. If the bus goes through some rural areas, people will be selling, like on this picture, the lady is selling dry fish and the man is probably selling the fresh fish. Sometimes the communication is done also in this way. Probably these people are coming from some political meeting. You can see on the back of the lorry, there is the picture of the president and the instruction how to vote. Also the transport will be done by using bicycles, and for many of the people still even today, to have a bicycle is like a dream. So here they are carrying some sheets of metal. They will be using them for making the roofs in the houses. And on the left side, you see the man carrying some planks of timber. Also, probably they will be used for for building. And here in Polish is written thank you, which is done as a some kind of saying thank you to one of the organizations called MIWA. And on the background there, you can see seven of our catechists. They received the bicycles thanks to that organization, and they are very happy because the life will be easier for them. And here you can see this is a road quite close to our mission, and the ladies are using the bicycles for carrying the things. You can see sometimes the bicycles can be loaded with many things, so they will not be even like riding on them, but they will be just pushing them. And on the left side also, if you are very careful in watching, you see that this lady is carrying a child that she has like wrapped all over her body. So this is also in our setting, which is like rural setting, you will not see any trolleys, but you will see the ladies carrying the children like this. And usually the small kids up to like, let's say one, maybe let's say 2 years old, they will be with the mother. But then when the kid is like over two, maybe three, and is ready to walk, usually will be with the older brothers and sisters, and the mother will be usually again with a small one. And this is the local harbor. People are using very simple boats, as you can see. We are close to the border with Congo, and situation in Congo is worse than in Zambia, so sometimes people will be smuggling some things there and selling them there, or carrying some things that are cheaper on that side, like let's say a beer, for example, and bringing that kind of Congo beer to our place. So something about the local people. This is majority of the pictures are taken by our volunteers, and here you can see what is shocking for me always is the fact that you can see very small children, like let's say they are around 4 maybe 5 years old, and usually they look like they are left alone. There will be some older brothers and sisters, but usually the mother or the father, they will not be around. They will be working in the fields while the children will be taking care of the younger brothers and sisters. And also it's interesting, I think, to say that we have a king. Our village is also like a small kingdom, and this is our king, Mwata Kazembe. And once a year there is a big feast honoring the Lunda people as they came from Congo and they settled there. So now every year they are praising the king, and also here you can see on this picture, praising the ancestors. He's throwing some kind of food to the river, and then in this way he's like saying this, they are souls in the river of our ancestors, so we are also have to feed them. And he's throwing even pieces of goat, chicken, some maybe a bit of rice, a bit of maize to the river. Something about the houses and the conditions that the local people are living. And then maybe also it's good to say that I'm just talking mainly about our like rural setting, about our mission, our place. Zambia also can have a big buildings and like modern buildings, especially in the big cities. But in our rural setting, it will look like this. People will be digging clay from the ground, then will be forming them into blocks, drying them, burning them up. And then the local house can look like this, or like that. And you can see here in the front of the house, it's like a small garden, small fields, where people will be having their own maize usually, maybe a bit of onion, cabbage, some things that they can eat or sell. And also next to the house on the left side, you see a big mango tree. And then you can see a goat there. Someone will have some goats, maybe some chicken. And also in this way, they will survive. When it comes to building and any work, usually you can see that they will be using very simple tools, and all the work will be done using them. Here you can see boys that are like 16, 17, 18 years old. Usually they will come also to us, and during the holiday times they will be asking, "Father, have you got any job for us? Can you help us to survive?" Because in the family sometimes it's very difficult, even if they want to buy some clothes or have some money for some books in school, they'll be asking for some small jobs. So if we can, we give them also some kind of, they call it like a piecework. Here you can see the ladies going to the river to do the laundry. They are carrying the dirty clothes on their heads. Sometimes people are wondering how is it possible that they can sometimes carry heavy things like that, but usually this will be done by years of practice. Usually they will be starting carrying things when they are like, let's say 7, 8 years old, carrying the water, and then later on they can carry even very heavy things on their heads. So the washing will be done in this way. And also, as you can see, there will be drying will be done there as well. Something about our parish and our church. So this is the main church. And then this is the inside of the church. And the involvement of the people will be done, first of all, I would say, by belonging to different like parish groups, but also by involvement in singing and dancing. And this is like big part of the church program. So here you can see, and this is in one of the villages, even the men are dressed up. It's like some kind of a serious celebration and they are using the drums. This is a youth choir in the parish, and once again you can see them dressed up. So it was probably Easter here, and they are dressed like this, and they are happy also to be together. Sometimes the celebration can be very like vivid, very colorful. You can see that on the left side the altar boys are carrying in the procession a goat. So this means, I think this picture was taken during the consecration of one of the chapels. So for the offertory, people are not carrying, like sometimes here I see just water and wine, maybe the hosts for the consecration, but they will be carrying the things that they have. So if they are bringing goats or chicken, usually it will be like a big celebration. On the right side, they are bringing the bag of cassava also as a gift to the priests. Corpus Christi, and this some of the groups also will be addressed to the children. In this one you can see small girls, they maybe are dressed and they look like nuns, but their group is dedicated to dancing in front of the altar. Usually during the mass they will be doing some dances there. Something about the outstations, so small chapels that surround our place. Maybe I just want to show you the map of the outstations. So you can see something. So this is our main church that is here. Sorry, it's here, and then from like going to the north and going to the south, all these places that are here are small chapels, and altogether there are 30 of them. So you can see that maybe, let's say, from this Chavirikila, which is in the north, then to Capesa, that is in the south, is like the distance is 80 kilometers. So it's not that far, but considering that we are only three and we have another two priests in the different community close to us in Lufubu, that is here. So we can be in these places usually 3-4 times a year. So these people will have mass in these small outstations only 3-4 times a year. So if you go there for a mass, sometimes you can have other sacraments usually also there. You come, you have time for confession, then there is a mass, and often also already with the baptism, sometimes also with the marriage also there. Just a second, so we carry on here. So some of the outstations, as you can see here, is Father Norbert. former parish priest. You can see the background. They are just very simple buildings. Sometimes there is no even plaster on the walls there. So, but that is the also the, like, you know, always the we struggle with money, with buildings. So we, if we can, usually the people will be even doing the blocks or the bricks. Then we are applying for some funds to make sure that we can have the roof, and some of the buildings will be very simple. Some of them also will be dark, like you can see there in the background. This is the baptism of one of the children. But inside is quite dark, because then also if you put windows, it will be hot, so sometimes they prefer it to have it quite dark, but then it's also quite, like, you know, cold and chilly, which is nice for the people. You can see that they will be using some also local instruments. This place, I think it's Shanyembo, is famous for some local guitars. This is a bass made out of strings. This is one of the smallest outstations. You can see there is not even a wall there, and from far away, apart from the cross that is there, it does not look like a church. It's just a small chapel. This is another one also, as you can see, even on the floor, there are many holes already in the ceiling there, in the roof. But the people are there, they are coming. This is way of the cross. This is actually in our parish. They have very nice idea every Good Friday every year. We go like for one station of the cross among the people, which will last like around 4 hours even. And usually each station will be done in the place of the sick. So here you can see in the background, maybe a bit bigger building than the previous ones. And you can see the roof also made out of some kind of metal sheets. And then there is the lady that is living there. So we are having the way of the cross there and the station, some kind of reflection, but then also at the same time, we are visiting the sick, giving communion to them. And usually the people are very grateful, because they are not only receiving Jesus in the communion, but also they have a chance to be visited by their friends. People will come to them, greet them. Usually they are also elderly, so they know people from the church, but they are not able to come to church anymore. Something about the children, because also this is our like main vocation, to work with the children and the youth. So you can see in the picture that they are happy. They like to come to very close. You put the camera or a phone, and they will like just come to you naturally. But also in the background there, you can see the little house. So meaning some of them, they came to our oratory, our like youth center, straight from the fields. So sometimes they can be even 12. And they will be already working in the fields. Here is the picture of some three girls. And also I wanted to show the picture because they are carrying the chitenge material. Like some pictures before, I showed you the mother with the small kid, so she was using the same chitenge material. And usually the women will be using this for different purposes. Sometimes they will be also covering their hips, especially if they are in public places. Sometimes they will be carrying the children, but then also during the cold season in June, they will be wrapping themselves using that. Sometimes also for sleeping, usually they will be using simple mats. I will show them very soon. And then on the top of the mat as a cover or as a blanket, they can be using also this chitenge material. So sometimes the childhood is quite difficult for them, because even small kids like these boys are maybe around 8, 9, the smallest one is around 5 or 6. They will be carrying the water, fetching the water, bringing the water to the house. So you can see that this one in the middle made like some kind of a nest, they call it in the local language, and then he's putting the bucket there, or the other one is using the cup, and then they carry the water to the house. This is our small football team. As you can see, they are very excited. These ones, they won the game. So they came and they were shouting, "We need the prize now, we won the game, so where is the prize?" Here is just a comparison of the tennis ball that we know on the right side, and on the left side you can see the local football ball made out of, I think here, there is no taboo, I can say, that inside there is a condom that is inflated, then they wrap it with the plastic bags, then they use a string like this, and in this way they have a ball. So if they come to us and they use the ball like this, which is quite modern, this one is just a simple football, but they are very excited that they can use the ball like this, because that ball that does not bounce very well and does not last also long. Then they have some games, basketball, painting, drawing and painting again. That also we have time, so they come to us every day from 14 to 17 hours. The children, as you can see here, usually they are around 80, 100 on Friday and Saturday. They can be even like 120, 150. And then we always finish in this way, or we meet in the hall that is on the left side. And then we have a simple prayers there and some kind of a good night. So one of the leaders will be giving some kind of a reflection for them, some kind of a thought. So these are the toys that they are making, usually, as you can see, made out of the boxes and some kind of lids from the drinks, and they will be using them to build some motocars, as they call them. They like music and dance, and usually also the dancing will be done separately. They will not be dancing together in couples, but boys will be dancing separately, girls will be dancing separately. But any music you play, when the rhythm is like vivid, they will be very happy to join. So they are very happy with this. And on the left side, they are playing some kind of a game, but I put this picture here because you can see that these are the mats that they will be using for sleeping. So in the houses that I showed you, usually they will be just sleeping there and storing things, because the houses are so small, so dark also, that is, they keep them dark to make sure that they are cold inside, that there is no place for storing things. So if the youth are coming to us from 18 to 20 to make the homework, this is because in their houses is very dark, and there are usually also no tables, no desks, no furniture. The houses are very simple. They are cooking outside, they are washing things outside. So in the houses, basically, they keep things and they sleep there on the mats, like you can see here. Of course, there will be people sleeping on the beds, having mattresses, but in our setting, like rural village setting, it will be done mainly on the mats. And here you can see small girls drinking water, always happy. And also, these are the situations that you can encounter in our youth center, that sometimes the children, like this girl is, I think, less than 10 years old, they are coming with their brothers and sisters. And some of them, if we as white people are coming, approaching them, they are terrified, because like for them, sometimes, you know, they cannot be, like this one is holding the chair because he's afraid, no? So, but this is the situations that usually there'll be many children in the family, so the mother will be always with the youngest ones. So as you can see, they are naturally happy. After one of the masses on Sunday, one lady came to me and said, you talk about some like difficult things and you show us also the poverty there, but on the pictures, many of the people are very happy there. So what is the trick? I said, there is no trick. And I didn't choose the best pictures that I had, but if the children, and also I think the adults, many of them are like naturally happy. They have simple lifestyle, but they also enjoy life. They say, okay, our life is like this, but let us take out from our lives the most that we can, and they are happy naturally. Sometimes, even if we have volunteers, they come and they are inspired by this saying, oh, we have so many things in Europe. Let's say the majority of them will be coming from Poland, but then also they say, but these people, they don't have much, but they are sometimes even more happy than us. So where is the secret? Maybe also the simple lifestyle is the secret. So something about the youths. This is the football team. So football is something that brings them together, but also attracts them to our youth center. Sometimes they have some kind of a workshop, like here they were painting the faces, and then they were talking about some also how to express themselves, and they were talking about the dreams. They are talking about also some kind of a vocation story for each one of them. And sometimes, like there was Justina before, here is Emilia. You can see some volunteers there, because I want to talk a bit about the volunteers. And here we have the youths, but these are like a young men. Usually they are from 18 to 25 years old, and they belong to our carpentry school that we are also having there. A very small school, just for 20 people, 30 the most. So here they are making the roof. We got some money last year for goats. We are keeping 40 goats, so they are building the like a shelter for the goats. And some of the things, if we don't have to ask other people, we can do them also. For them is a good practice how to make the roof. So you can see simple building like this. And this is the group of the last year all together with the teachers. Majority of them, they are there. And on the background is our founder, Don Bosco. And some of the things that they make, some tables, chairs, there is tabernacle there. So also the school can survive because they are doing some things there. Something about the volunteers. So here you see, I think there are 10 of them, but all together from December 2020, they were already 16. And majority of them, they will come for some short projects, meaning like 1 month, 2 months, maybe 3 months the most, usually during the time of July and August, September, because in Europe, in our place, and they are coming from two different organizations in Poland, is also in their universities or in their secondary schools. They have holidays, so they can come during this time. But also they come this time because in Zambia, usually in August, there is 1 month holiday for the children, and it's also the middle of the dry season, so the weather is good, there is no rain whatsoever, so we can have holiday camp for like 100 children, and we can play games outside. So majority of them, they came during the summer. But here also you see maybe some more stories about them. So here is Anna and Isa, and they came for 1 year project. So also this is possible. One of them was involved in working with us, this Isa, but Anna was staying with some like another organization close to us, and it's American organizations that runs the orphanage for the children there, and she was helping there. Sometimes also some of the stories are like, you know, complicated. Mission life is not always easy. Like here you see the married couple of Adam and Diola, and they were in South Sudan, but then when the COVID was like strong there, they were asked either to get vaccinated or to leave the country. So they said, no, we are not going to get vaccinated because we don't believe in this. And then they had some kind of tensions in there. So they said, what can we do? And they asked for some another place to come. So we said, this is the problem, we should also host you. And they came for 3 months to us. And here you can see majority of them, they came for some short projects. Some of them are like over 25, 27. Some of them are just above 20, 22. There was also, here is not on the picture, one that was just 19 years old, but she had the desire to come and to work with the children. She came for 2 months. And what was interesting in like her story was the fact that she had very like basic English, and she struggled with the English so much, but she had this kind of personality that she could, you know, like use the language that she had, and she was not afraid of any mistakes. And after 1 week, she was walking around with a piece of paper, and she knew Bemba, the local language, better than me. And she was like friend of all the children. And if she wanted the attention, she could climb on the table, she would shout, or she would ask one of the like big boys, and he will be the one leading some kind of a workshop for her. So the children were very happy also with her. So sometimes people ask me, do you need the local language to work there? And I think the answer is no, because if you work with, especially with the small children for a short period of life, they will appreciate that you are present with them. So like here you can see, she was doing the choir practice. This is Basia. Here they are preparing the storeroom just before the summer camp, so they were having some difficult time. This is one of the deacons that visited us also for a period of some 5 weeks during the summer. So sometimes you can see during the free time between the meals, they are just playing simple games. And for the children there, it's difficult to have also like young men with them or men generally, because usually the problem there is that many of the families will be broken. The man will have a family, but after some time he will leave the family, find another wife somewhere else, and then will have children with her, and then will move again. So if you ask our children, unfortunately, majority of them will be without their fathers. So if they can have like a father figure with them, they will be appreciating this very much. Here is Marek, like one of the senior volunteers. He came just for 2 months and he was not with the children or the youth whatsoever. He was in charge of building. And behind him you can see the building of the future toilets and shower facilities. Here is Chris playing some games with the youths. And this is something about our dream that we have. We want to build a house for the volunteers, because right now we have the volunteers are coming to our place and they are staying in our Salesian house. Or sometimes we use also these friends from this American organization and they are staying there. But I think this is the time for us, after like 3 years of having some close relationships with them, with both of these organizations, to build a small house for them. So our dream is to build just a small house with 3 rooms. There is a small office here, and then is a kitchen with a living room, and then a bit of veranda also outside. So when they have some place for staying, maybe sometimes late during the night, some place for themselves. The land is already there, is surrounded by the wall. It belongs to us, so it's safe to build. But apart from the house, we need to do some preparatory work. We need to like drill a borehole in the ground. Then we need to connect it and put the water stand, then the tank on the top. So this has to be done first. Then we have to build the place for the sewage, and then we can start cleaning the land, the area, making maybe some like a hard road, so that later on we can come there with the lorries, with the sand and blocks and cement, and then we'll be building. So I think this is the story. If you want to follow us on Facebook, you can find us in this way. And I think this is the main presentation is here. I was using the pictures also to help myself to like go through different topics, but I think some things I just touched a bit, some I elaborated a bit more. But so if you still have some questions, I would be very happy to answer and to share with you. Thank you.
Are you running like a school in the area, or is it like more just after school programs for the kids?
So the thing that you saw, that the children that are there, is after school. We don't have a school for the children. We have sisters that are running the primary school. We have just carpentry school for also like young men. But the kids that you see there, this is after school program when the children can come, and it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, every day apart from Sunday they come, and usually on Sunday they also come for football, some groups. Let's say not all of them together, but we have them like apart from Sunday every day, more than 100 kids coming from the village. No, because also the problem is that there are not many things happening like afternoon for the children there. They are not even like secular or public youth centers or in the school. Usually the school is just for teaching, and they come to school like 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. They finish around 10, 11, or sometimes if they come late, they start around 9, finish around 12 or 13, and that's it. And there are not extra activities in the school. And many of the schools also, they don't have, like, you know, sometimes not even fencing around the school. If you can be shocked, you go around the school, even you think, okay, it looks nice, nice building, but there is no fencing. So the goats are passing by, the chicken are running there, you can meet a pig there, and everyone can enter. So it's not like, it doesn't look safe. And majority of them, there will be no football pitch there, or some, like, we have there a basketball ground, which is, I think, the only one in the village, and I think also the only one in the area of, let's say, 100 kilometers any direction. So for them it's also like, you know, you make the place safe because they know, okay, we come there, we have to respect some rules. There is no fighting, no swearing, no drugs, no alcohol. But then we get a ball. The ball is always there, and then we have also usually some leaders there, so they will be making sure that there is no fighting, and they will separate the teams. Usually someone, there will be a referee. From time to time they will be also teaching them some skills, so they are happy in this way to come. And also, like, there was the issue of even drawing or painting, very simple things, but they don't have these things in the families. They don't have tables in the house. They don't have desks, so if they can come to us and get crayons, so then someone has to supervise, maybe put them on the list. Okay, today you are using the crayons, because they will be fighting. The hall is small. Now we have also maybe another one, it's not in the pictures there. Father Joseph managed to build like another one, but still, some of the things we have to limit them. We have to say, okay, only 50 people, 50 kids, you come for 1 hour, you do the painting, and then that's it, because they will be so interested in doing these things. Yes?
And you said that most of the volunteers are from Europe, but some are from the US. And what was the name of the organization that
you get
volunteers
from? This one I have to check. I don't remember the name of the organization. But also, I think even here, the Salesians of Don Bosco, like, meaning our congregations, we have also the volunteers are coming. We don't have like personal connections right now with any organization from US, but this is happening. So I can leave you also some contacts, and then I can check. And that place, they are. This is like a group of Protestants, and they are doing the project, the orphanage for the children. So, and also it depends usually also on the one that is, like, you know, involved in this. Maybe this time when I came to that place, I'm in Zambia like for less than 4 years. So for me it was quite natural that I'm trying to have some links with Polish organizations. But I think also now we reach a point when we are already trying also to find some volunteers from different places. So if someone comes from US, or we want to address maybe some Italian organizations, because there are many also, and they are quite alive with many people, so then maybe we say to them also, we are welcome. But I think we need to have also like a safe place for them, when they feel like, okay, this is the place for the fathers, their house, and this is the place for the volunteers, when they also, especially in the evenings, when they can meet together, summarize the day, say, how was your day, what did you do? And as I show you the house, they have a place for meals, but also place for meetings, when they can share their life together. So this is our idea. I will leave you some email address and some WhatsApp, and then I can check, I can give you some. No problem, but we are trying also to be more open to others. But like, I remember the former parish priest, Father Norbert, that was there, he was saying that they, in the past, they had already, even we had some people from US, from Belgium, from Germany. So it depends usually on the person that is in charge of the volunteers. So I established the relationship with some Polish organizations, but I think even this Father Gabriel, Father Joseph, they are saying we could try also somewhere else, no? So we'll be trying to make some links, even through meetings like this. And even here, maybe if you would be interested to get in touch, usually in the meetings like this, especially like young adults like you, there are people that are maybe interested. So, and for me, sometimes it doesn't have to be very formal, as long as we make some kind of maybe agreement. Then someone can back you up from this organization, say, okay, this person is coming regularly, we know her or him, And then you can be sent for, especially like if it is a short project, 1 month or two, usually we provide the accommodation and the meals there, but the usually the journey, the insurance and all the other things like vaccinations is on the side of the organization or the volunteer himself or herself. And usually people are like happy with this kind of arrangement. To be honest, sometimes I even like feel speechless because people come and at the end of the stay they even say, okay, and this is for you, we felt welcome, and this is some kind of collection that we managed to raise for your mission. Or sometimes we had the situation that someone came, left, and after some 6 months they collected some like big sum of money and they said, no, this is for you, we felt welcome and we see many needs, you are doing like good job, so this is for you. So usually also we benefit, but I think the volunteers also, they are happy if they are also like taken care of, so there are some possibilities, no? Anything else?
How long have you been there, and is there kind of standard length of assignment, and then what are you doing here, and how long are you here making the rounds?
Okay. No, so usually, like, there are different kind of like connections that we have also and arrangements. So when I was in Poland, I wanted to go to the missions. And then the possibility to go to the missions was just for 3 years contract between like the Polish province and the Zambian province. So I said, okay, I'll go for 3 years. But then also there is possibility to join the Zambian province, which is Zambia, Zimbabwe, Malawi, and Namibia. And then after like 3 years, I said, yes, I want to stay here. I'm happy here. And the superiors, they agreed. Then they have to also contact Rome. So the one from Rome also, they agreed, and I'm happy to stay there, and I hope I will stay there as long as my health is okay. So that is my dream. I am happy to be there. And then, like, usually it's like that. Then when it comes to one place, we are Salesians, which is like religious order, like Dominicans, Jesuits, Franciscans. So then also sometimes we are in one place for some 3, 4, 5 years, sometimes 10. So there is not like a rule. Usually we are moved around according to the needs that are there. Usually our problem is that we are not enough. The numbers, like the work that we are doing there is for 6 or 7 people, but we are only 3. So even if we get some new missionaries or new local vocations, we still are struggling because the communities, there are 9 communities in Zambia, and then we have altogether 5 in Malawi, Namibia, and Zimbabwe. So we are like 100 plus, and the communities are 15. And then also we have some people in doing some different jobs, like in Rome or in Israel. So then as a province, we still need more people to work there, so it's also a challenge for us, no?
And how long are you in the U.S.?
In the U.S., I just came for 1 month.
Okay.
I have a friend priest in St. Ferdinand, and I was asking for the possibility to come and also make some like mission Sundays. Usually I come to one parish on Sunday or Saturday evening, and have the homily when I can preach about the missions and share a bit of this. And in some parishes, if they have also like a youth group or maybe the parish school, then I go to the children and I talk to them. And also I reach to some places like here, John Cantius, and I think next Saturday I have another meeting also here. So it depends if the people are also like happy to host me. I'm happy also to come around and to talk a bit. Then during the week I have some time for some project work. As also in US we have the big headquarters of the Salesian missions in New York. So I'm trying also to write some project, maybe meet up with them, so then we can have some funding. No, when it comes to finances, this is always a challenge for us because we rely still on the help from outside. As a house, let's say, as our community, we are trying also to be maybe more independent, have some income generated activities. Like last year, we got some money for building the place for the goats. So this year we have already 40 goats. And then if we have some parties for the children or some big occasions, then we can slaughter a goat. And then in this way also life is like somehow cheaper for us, but it also takes time sometimes and money to, you know, to establish some things, but we are trying also, no? Something else if you have, feel free.
Is it a relatively safe area?
Yeah, it's very safe. Zambia is a very peaceful country, and I think there are some very small tensions just before, like, you know, serious political events. Usually the two parties, they'll be fighting, and sometimes then there will be some trouble, but it's small things. Usually they even say, one Zambia, one nation. And then there are some also like tribal, let's say, small troubles, but they will be usually functioning as some kind of a jokes. This one is Bemba, this one is Tonga, this one is more with the goats, this one is with the cows, and they will be laughing at each other and that's it. So, but usually it's very peaceful, and I think our village also, like, there can be some troubles, like, everywhere in, like, big cities, like, let's say, in Lusaka, in the capital, or in the Copper Belt, when there is this Ndola and Kitwe, which is like a city setting, you can have some troubles, like some robbers or some gangs. But in the villages, especially like our area, you can walk at night, and also usually people will know each other after some, let's say, 2-3 months. Especially if you are like an outsider, everyone knows you. All the children, they will be even shouting your name, no? Once we had a situation that we had some volunteers and we said to the kids, look, next week there is Marta and Arleta. That's where their names, Marta and Arleta, are coming. So if you see them next week, make sure you welcome them, you greet them nicely. So the girls arrived and we went just for a walk around our, like, let's say, football ground and the youth center ground. And as we were walking, that was, I think, the second day that they were there, the kids were already shouting, Marta, Arleta, Marta, Arleta. And the girls were like, how do they know us? Are we safe here? I said, you are very safe. They already know your names. You see, they are greeting you, so no problem. And then they went to the shops, to other places, and people are also, I think the people there are quite open. They are friendly to foreigners. If you are stuck on the road, you don't know where to go, or you sit on the ground because you feel tired because of the sun, or you just resting, people will even come to you and say, are you okay? Is everything fine? You need some help? Where are you going? So I think it's very safe, and people are like very welcome, very friendly. So I think in this way, Zambia is quite nice, no? Because you, like the experience of many, even of the volunteers, they go out, like, you know, sometimes crying, saying, ah, it was so nice, the people were so good. And we got so much from the children because they wanted to spend time with us. And then, like, you don't have to maybe invent many things. You throw a ball, you become a referee, you have 20 kids that are happy to be there with you, to spend time with you. And even like you saw in the picture, sometimes you just play simple games with them. You spend time with them and they appreciate very much, because usually they'd be lacking the figure of the father, but also of the mother, because the mother will be sometimes with 6, 7, 8 kids. So if this young woman can give them some kind of also attention, they are happy, no?
What's the religious makeup of the country? How many Catholics?
So the majority will be Protestants, and I don't know the numbers, but there will be number one will be Protestant, number two will be Catholics, and then there will be, let's say, like the others, but majority will be Christians. Zambia is quite, we can say it's a Christian country. And there are some Muslims and some other denominations, but usually there is peace with them. And But the problem sometimes also that we encounter, as I mentioned, with the animals, is the fact that the people are still believing in some, like, you know, traditional religions. If it is traditional, let's say, for example, I was shocked when once they were saying that you can't tell them that the family should consist only like of, let's say, 3 or 4 kids, because they will be like attacking you. They'll be saying, are you a Christian? Why do you say like this? If God is in charge of creation and he says multiply, be, have big families, and each child is a blessing from God, why do you say like this? Which kind of religion you confess, no? So then we were saying, okay, we can't say like this. You told us already, okay? We keep quiet, but then, so this is, I would say, okay, this is nice even. It's a nice concept, nice philosophy that they have, but the problem is when they believe in some kind of, like, you know, white magic, some kind of witchcraft. For example, there is trouble in the family, someone died, and then they accuse each other. They say, ah, this one died because this person bewitched him. So now we have to find maybe some kind of like a juju, they say, some kind of like a sacred object, and this person used that object to bewitch this other person. And then they will bring the witch doctor, they will make a big drama. And I was like, you know, leaving the place, going somewhere to the town, next day traveling, and I heard during the night like a big commotion in the village. I said, what is happening there? And you could see even the police came, they were shooting and like, you know, point, trying to scare the people, and there was big crowd, and they came to the one house because they accused that woman, bewitched someone, and now that person died. So they were trying to enter the house, and she refused. She said, no, I'm not connected with this, I'm Christian, and I don't want any witch doctor to come to my house. So they said, ah, so if you are refusing, you are already the one that has to be guilty. So then they wanted to stone her there, so she called the police, and then the police told her, look, leave this place, and she left and went to the family, which is like, I don't know, 400 kilometers away. She stayed there for maybe 6 months, and then the issue somehow died out, but it was, this is also happening. This is the, like, when it comes to religion, this is the, like, the problem that is still there, no? And this can be also among the Protestants and Christians, Catholics, the same. We have problems. Usually this parish priest, Gabriel, or the previous one, they will be sharing stories. Even our leaders, sometimes they come with some issues, and they are not looking for the solution where they should be looking for, but they are going to the witch doctor. Once we had, let's say, the last example, the issue of our cook. She came to work and you could see that her leg was like swollen. So we asked her, what happened to you? I was working in the fields and I was bitten by a snake, no? So we said, so leave the, don't work today, just go to the clinic. And she refused. She said, no, clinic, I'm afraid they'll give me medicine and I don't trust in this medicine. So she refused. And then instead, she went to the witch doctor, but she was still like suffering for another 3 days. And then she called us, she said, no, I have to go to the doctor, so I will not come. Then she went to the doctor, she got proper medicine and she was okay. But still in her head was like, she was afraid of the doctor, modern kind of treatment. And she said, no, I'm looking for the help, first of all, from the witch doctor. And she's Catholic also, so these are sometimes the stories that are like challenging for us, no?